This is GamesAtWork.biz with Phaedra Boinodiris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with.
This is episode 114, Augmented Shazam.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Michael Rowe here on another beautiful Friday for another exciting, I tell you, crazy exciting episode of GamesAtWork.biz with my co-host, Michael Martin.
Hooray, and I'm inside as well on a beautiful Friday. But we're spending time with all of you.
That's right. Absolutely.
And do we have a great show?
We do have a great show. Matter of fact, it is such a great show. It's... You know, we've been kind of talking, and we mentioned some stuff earlier this year on our blog that we're looking at potentially expanding our scope or changing it some over time. So this week's episode is all about augmented reality. Augmented reality. And to begin with, we had a really cool link saw this morning where Apple had acquired a company recently called Meta.io, M-E-T-A-I-O, Meta.io, Meta.io, Meta.io. I've heard that name before now that I say it that way.
Could very well be.
Yes, and so this is a company that started, 12 years ago, out of Volkswagen. It was a project in Volkswagen, the automotive company, and they were working on augmented reality applications. And the link that we'll have in the show notes is just really, really cool. I know before the show, Michael, you and I were talking about that kind of the first real augmented reality app that we all kind of remembered on iOS was a extension to the Yelp app called Monocle.
Right.
And what this would do is you would launch the monocle and then you would look through your hold your phone up and the camera would show directionally where you're looking, understand kind of distance, and then put pop up little Yelp bubbles above businesses up to, I think it was less than a mile because I think it was designed for you to walk to them. And show you, you know, this is a 3-star rated restaurant, that's a 5-star rated drugstore or whatever.
Right. Yeah, and you know, I'm actually trying to launch one of the early augmented reality apps that I had too called AR. It actually went through several different name changes, but the current version is AR USA by a company called Press Elite. And and the funny thing is it ain't doing all that much right now. But the way that one worked, it had other names, it had other logos over time. But the way it worked was just using your phone's camera, you would kind of pan around and it would show you landmarks and information about your surroundings and how far away certain stuff was and kind of superimpose it over the camera view. But it didn't do as much as what we're seeing here, like in the videos from TechCrunch. The augmented reality example of the Berlin Wall was just something just really, really cool. This time traveler app that was using the technology here from Meta.io, if that's the way you pronounce it or whatever. I thought it was really neat how you could superimpose video, dynamic video, such as a window on a building face that doesn't have any windows on it, and then having a person coming out of said window. That was just really, really neat.
Yeah, what I thought was really cool about that, as well as the other video that's in the article, which is a Ferrari showroom app, right, where you could take your Ferrari and swap out the wheels or change the color or show the aerodynamic flow on it in the showroom. And what was really cool about that was in prior AR apps that I remember, the positioning of the graphical overlay tended to be very shaky. It would kind of constantly try to readjust to catch where it's supposed to be. And this, as soon as it recognizes the object, both in the buildings for the Berlin Wall one, as well as the car itself in the Ferrari example, it snaps in place. And you can tell the person is like jiggling the iPad and having problems holding it or just moving it around. But the AR overlay, once it captures the shape that it's connected to, stays rock solid in place. So you can see the example you were talking about, Michael, of the people crawling out the windows and jumping down onto the street or into the crowd. The building, you know, the view of the building seems to be moving because they're physically moving the iPad, but the overlay of the building for the historical footage stays right where it should be, aligned to the building itself. So it's moving in perfect concert with the actual viewfinder. Very, very cool.
I thought that was neat too.
And you know, we've talked about lots of different other examples, and it's kind of neat to see these in this, right? And we talked about the auto one years ago of being able to look at helping somebody understand how to fit something in, and they show an example of, you know, popping the hood and seeing the engine and you know, breaking it apart and seeing components inside.
Well, right, and knowing where to make, you know, changes or repairs. Like if you were looking, in my case, you know, I had a failure in the hose attached to the pump, the air pump, right, a secondary return hose. I didn't actually know where it was in the engine, but wouldn't it have been cool if I were able, through either glasses, not contact lenses, but glasses or another phone or some other environment, to be able to go find exactly, that's the problem. You know, look at it. What are the most common things that are wrong with it when you throw a check engine code that says, look at that? Oh, well, you know, you want to look for dry rot. You want to look for leaks. You want to look for breaks, you know, and could you use the camera and or the microphone of your mobile device to go and help you troubleshoot and say, you know, I'm listening for a sound that's uncharacteristic that might help you pinpoint where the leak is, as an example.
Yeah. Very, very cool. amazing stuff. And of course, we will also have a link in the show notes of the augmented reality contact lenses that were predicted to be at CES 2014. And I was there and I didn't see them.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you didn't, because I wouldn't be looking for them anyway.
Oh, I would, in a heartbeat. Very, very cool. So you had found a link, speaking of augmented reality, from some DARPA work going on.
Yeah, so we're really sad to be missing Phaedra for this, because I'm sure she would have some interesting elements to include on this here as well. But there is an Engadget link talking about having gamers playing games to help DARPA what they're doing essentially is to find and destroy bugs in code. And by playing the game, you are doing something else. And we've talked about these kinds of things a lot, you know, the sort of Tetris folding things, which, you know, are now doing Bitcoin mining, or, you know, are the AIDS protein folding kind of things to find which molecules and which drugs might be better to glom onto. That's a technical term if you didn't know, and attack the AIDS virus. So very interesting to see how the group at DARPA have this portal called Verigames, and they've got multiple games there designed to help not just troubleshoot, but also to do code. So,
yeah, well, I know she kind of hinted at this a couple of weeks ago on the show when we were all together, and we actually talked about it a while back, because she and I worked together on a proposal in this space. 6 years ago now, I think it was. So it's really neat to see how far they've advanced on leveraging really these, their free online games that crowdsource code bugs, right? Identifying codes, identifying bugs in codes, not codes in bugs, which would be totally different. but yeah, I hadn't realized, and I guess, you know, it's been 2 years that they've stood it up as a separate web portal, this Vera Games portal, but really, really cool. And speaking of that,
yeah,
I tweeted out for the show, I guess it was last week. So here is a on-the-fly insertion of a new game called, is it FireEye?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So what this is actually a game that helps map out neurons in the brain. We set up an account on that, iWire.org, which is just really, really cool. So if you go to iWire.org, and I'll put that in our show notes also, it's similar to the protein folding idea, right? Uh-huh. What you do is you're actually mapping out the structure of a neuron as it was scanned in a brain scan. And so the game presents you with the easiest way to think of it is kind of pattern matching.
Right.
And as you're going through the patterns, you're actually tracing out that part of the pattern in three dimensions. So you're going through these different slices. Think of it as an MRI. You're tracing out the different pieces of that individual neuron as it shows itself across multiple layers of an MRI. And it's I've played about 10 minutes, 15 minutes of it. Pretty much the intro and a couple of challenges after that. It's actually really cool. It's kind of relaxing. You want to get above 95-96% of it mapped. It has an algorithm that validates how close you are to having actually caught the entire map. There is a built-in community aspect of it where people can chat with each other, provide each other hints and help during the gameplay itself. Very, very cool. And so if you think of, you know, mapping the brain, neurons in the brains as identifying bugs in code, I'm sure there's at least mentally or conceptually similar types of pattern matching and identification that comes into play in order to identify the data that you're looking for. You know, in the Vera Games example, the data is a bug in the code. And in the iWire example, it's actually the structure of a neuron.
Right.
It's very, very cool. If you haven't had a chance to look at that, I do recommend it.
Well, I will. I started, but then I think I was on my iPad at the time, and I don't think it was.
Yeah, and it doesn't run on mobile.
Yeah.
It just doesn't run on mobile. Because the first thing I did is try to get on the iPad, dude, and right when you went in, it went, nope, we don't have a mobile version yet. And I'm like, but I want to play now. I don't want to wait.
Yeah.
Dynamarker. Create groups of mysterious patterns that meld into a design that can create either destructive or beneficial particles. That's one of the five games on the Vera game site, Ghost yeah. Map Hyperspace.
I've been playing Monster cool. Proof.
Ah, have you? So I should play that one and beat you silly.
Yeah, maybe so. It's kind of funny. You got to go through tutorials, and one of the tutorials is called Mastering the Obvious. Learn to solve self-solving puzzles. So. It's fun stuff. I'll have to,
hey, Joe is the faithful advisor. So did you log in with an account or did you use the guest player?
Oh, guest.
Well, I mean, they know who you are anyway.
They know who you
it
are.
It is DARPA, after all.
Thanks, DARPA. All right, so we had one other thing that we wanted to touch today, at least, that was also pretty cool. Oh, gosh, you would have to show that little link there about the contact lenses. So Shazam, this came out. I saw this morning. I mean, it's not actually brand new, because it's been here before, but Shazam, is now has a capability called visual Shazam, where there will be a Shazam logo on things that don't make sound, like a movie poster or maybe even a website or a sticker somewhere.
Gomer Pyle.
Right. Yeah.
or
Gomer Pyle. Although I think that he probably is still charging a premium for that opportunity. So hurry up and get them. But to me, I think this could be super cool that you now can essentially, you're doing a QR code. It's not even QR code. It's optical character or image recognition that then takes you to something more. So if you're reading a magazine and there's a little Shazam logo, you can go over to the magazine, Shazam it, and then go from there. And, you know, related to this was something that I downloaded to my phone just this past weekend, actually, and I'm finding it right now. I downloaded an application called Vivino, V-I-V-I-N-O.
Is this a wine tracker?
It's a wine tracker. And so the cool thing about Vivino, actually, there's some parts of it that I will try out more before I decide I want to subscribe to it, because it's a subscription model application where you can buy a month or 6 months or something, and then you can store a ton of stuff, your wine, wine you care about, what you might have in your cellar, blah, blah, blah. But what I found to be really, really cool is you could go into your favorite wine shop. You could fire up Vivino. You could then scan the label of the bottle of wine, and it would find it. And then it would tell you who else has recognized it, who else has rated it, what did they say.
Interesting. I have a wine app similar to that. Oh, gosh. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
But the similarity between, while you're looking, the Shazam capability of Vivino is that they're doing recognition. In some cases, I think it's optical character recognition. In others, it would be image recognition, which is now becoming much more prevalent. I saw something, I think even just yesterday, about how Microsoft's search engine is recognizing not just things, you know, like something that is on a picture that's been taken and uploaded or is on a website somewhere, but also actions like throwing or, you know, or duck.
Duck. Or squirrel.
Or squirrel. Yeah. So to me, this is an interesting next step, because what it's saying is that a QR code, which earlier on was what you needed to be able to allow a camera to quickly, easily determine what URL or what thing or whatever it is that you're doing. Instead, you're now able to use your camera and get much, much more information out of it. I almost would see that this is, in the end, an operating system level capability that operating systems should strive for, not as a third party app.
And I think, you know, to kind of circle all the way back to the beginning, I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, Apple's done their acquisition, and we know that Google does a lot with AR overlays, and, you know, they saw some early examples of that in their Glass experiment. So, you know, the ability to provide augmentation to the existing space, not virtual reality, can provide lots of incremental value to the things that you're working on or the things that you interact with.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So very cool. I think, you know, I think there's some interesting angles to this that circle back right into that gaming space that we started at.
Right. I mean, you know, in the game of everything's related, augmented reality, you know, the opportunity to put different objects right in front of you so that you can interact with them and do things with them that change based on the environment that they're in. They recognize stairs. They recognize, other changes in topography. All very, very interesting, very cool. Oh, and Blush. Yeah, I have Blush too. And Seller Tracker, incidentally, just launched an app as well. I've been using Seller Tracker for some time. Which I really enjoyed doing. It had a barcode reader, that you could use from their website directly, but they now have a mobile app that is available in the variety of app stores, whichever you might happen to choose for yourself. So with that, Michael, we are just about time.
We are actually at time enough to say, play anything new recently.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I have. I've played a couple of things new recently. I've played with an app called OBD Link, so I could tell what problems I was having in my car. And I'm now finding it on my phone, so I can tell you what it is. I've been playing a game called Brickies.
Brickies?
Yeah, Brickies. Brickies. It is a breakout style game where you control a paddle, and it goes on the bottom and the top of your screen. And this is something incredible too, by the way, is that anything that we're typing into Skype right now is showing up on my phone and occasionally
on my watch. That's because you have Skype enabled on your phone, which is... Yeah. Which we discovered the other day.
Which we did discuss the other day. So it's like, wow, this is like, I must be available on Skype all the time. We need to do a little experiment on that, don't we?
Yes, because I don't have it enabled all the time on mine.
Well, I didn't know that I did. That's kind of news to me. But Brickies is very fun because you have these paddles that are on the top and the bottom of your screen. There are various power-ups. Excuse me. You've got a certain amount of time to complete a level. And if you complete it in time, you can get 1, 2, or 3 stars, depending on how fast and well you completed that level, and then you can move on to the next level. Uh-huh. What have you been playing, Michael?
I've not played anything new lately.
Oh, that's no fun.
No. You know what they say about all work.
Yes, and no play.
We're not even... Well, you don't even have time to even get to the words no play. I am looking forward, and I will check out Brickies, and we can do a review next time.
That sounds like it could be fun.
You can say I loved it, and I can say that would be pretty cool. I did too, or boy, I did not like it at all. What were you thinking, Michael?
Well, what do you think? I think with that, I'm thinking that's probably a good place for us to say goodbye.
I think it is too. There'll be a couple of interesting edits in this show.
Or not, as you have time for, really. Yeah.
And we hope everybody, be on the lookout for more info as we continue to expand and change the format a little bit, but we won't radically change it. But we, as always, look for your feedback on Twitter, on Facebook, on Google+, on our blog. Exists. Yep. Oh, we cool. have accounts in all of those spaces, and we look forward to your feedback at gamesatwork.biz.
See ya!
You've been listening to gamesatwork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at gamesatwork_biz or at our website at gamesatwork.biz.